The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For more information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.
I'd like to offer some concluding remarks on the book of Philemon. And this book has been a beautiful picture of the doctrine that we would like to focus on this evening, which is reconciliation. Reconciliation. Before we focus on the greater spiritual lesson, we'd like to note the last few verses of this epistle, the personal letter to Philemon from the Apostle Paul. He's just concluded in verses 18 and 19, requesting for Philemon to put any debt that Onesimus owes him on his account, and he's literally signing the bottom of the promissory note by saying, "I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I'm promising and I'm pledging to pay any financial commitment, any financial obligation that Philemon may still have outstanding with you." And he had great confidence. He had great confidence in Philemon. "Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord." It said earlier in verse 7 that Philemon refreshed the bowels of the saints. And he said, "If you extend to me that same blessing, you bless everybody else, and please bless me by me hearing a report that you have graciously forgiven this unprofitable runaway slave." And he had confidence in him. Verse 21, "Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say." You know, you're not just going to do the bare minimum. I mean, I asked you to receive him back as a brother, but I have confidence in you, Philemon, that you're going to do even more than the bare minimum that I've requested in this letter. "But withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers." And this concluding remark in verse 25, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." And that's a beautiful little benediction. Not just here, but what better benediction could we give to our friends and loved ones, that as you go, not just people we won't see for a long time, but even as we go about our day, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." Because Lord knows we need the grace of Jesus to encourage our spirit every day. But particularly with Philemon, again, I've tried to hopefully paint a picture where you could see the reality of this human offense. When Philemon first saw Onesimus coming, I really don't think he was full of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of love and joy. I mean, I think he was very bitter when he first saw Onesimus, and I believe Paul understood the reality of that situation, and he was going to need a special unction of grace from God to be able to forgive someone who had legitimately offended him. And I'll tell you, we're commanded to forgive, but we also need the enabling grace of God to strengthen our spirit when we are in those challenging circumstances where we have been legitimately offended. The pain is deep, and maybe it's not even fully healed yet. God, please, you know, you give grace, but God, please give me more grace, right? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, please be with Philemon's spirit. And certainly we need the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to be with our spirit, to encourage us every single day as well. Not just in forgiving other people, but you know, on a daily basis as well. So this epistle, very similar to the Old Testament, paints a beautiful, beautiful spiritual picture in a natural historical event. And that's what happened in the Old Testament many times. Those are historical events. But the narrative of those historical events present a beautiful spiritual picture that many times we can glean from in the New Testament kingdom. So throughout this epistle, what we've seen is there is this gracious, loving master, right? You have Philemon who refreshes the bowels of the saints, and he had a testimony, verse 5, of hearing of thy love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. This gracious, loving master. But then you have a unprofitable runaway slave. And then you have Paul, the mediator, putting his hand on both parties, the daysman, to bring them back into fellowship, to reconcile them back into fellowship. And he did not just request Philemon to forgive Onesimus, but he says, anything that he owes you, you put that on my account.
Right.
And I hope that you are well versed enough in your Bibles to see that spiritual picture, right? We have the loving master, Philemon, who is God the Father, right? And then we have all of mankind that literally became unprofitable, that literally became runaway slave Onesimus's. And who do we have as our mediator to bring us back into fellowship, to reconcile the offended party? It's Jesus Christ, Paul the aged here in this picture. We have Jesus Christ who doesn't just call on us, and this is what we want to focus on this evening. He doesn't call on us to reconcile. He didn't say in this picture, let me say this before we go on. We don't know exactly how this situation played out, but I sure don't think the Holy Spirit would have left this in the canon of Scripture if he showed back up and Philemon was bitter and unforgiving of him. I'm confident he did more than what Paul requested, which is what he expected. Mm-hmm. Okay? So we don't know the exact outcome of this historical event, but I'm going to certainly have confidence, like Paul did, that Philemon was going to go above and beyond. Okay? So we have this picture that we're offended, but most of the denominational world says, all right, Onesimus, you need to go reconcile yourself to Philemon, right? You've got to go back. And yes, he showed up. But guess what? What he had to say wasn't going to do any good,
right,
without him handing a letter from Paul to Philemon first. Amen. All right?
Right.
So it was not about Onesimus coming back to Philemon and saying, I've really messed up and I want to be reconciled. No, it was about the mediator saying, right, anything he owes you, you put it on my account. And that should be having your spiritual ears tingling, because that's Jesus Christ, right? Amen. That's Jesus Christ who said, put all of their debt on me. And now we have been brought into reconciliation and fellowship with God the Father, with our loving master, because of the actions of Jesus Christ. Amen. So now we want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And you can go ahead and be turning there. But I also want to just highlight a couple verses that speak and use the term of reconciliation before we post up there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 9, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled,
yeah,
we shall be saved by his life. Now, when were you reconciled?
There you go.
When you were enemies.
Amen.
When you were enemies, okay? And actually, that's in chapter 8, where it says the carnal mind is enmity, yeah, with God. Until you had a spiritual mind to approach unto God, the only thing that your mind wanted to do was be an enemy to God.
Thank you.
Okay? Amen. So now there was a change of nature, a change of character, and we have been reconciled, but never forget where you were before, right?
Right.
We were enemies. We were enemies toward God. Colossians. I believe this is chapter 1. Mm-hmm. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be in things in earth or things in heaven, that you were sometimes, notice this, alienated and enemies in your mind. That's the carnal mind, okay? Alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the blood of his, in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, that you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, to be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. And then in Ephesians chapter 2, in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, right? A reconciliation is removing an offense. There's an offense that's caused a large breach, right? There's a large distance. You sometimes were afar off are now made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. That's what reconciliation is about, is bringing people back into peace, right? Well, what's the mechanism by which we're brought into peace with God? The Prince of Peace, right?
Amen.
He is our peace, who hath made both one, hath broken down the middle wall of part. And we're not going to have time to get into all this and the imagery of the temple here, and how he talks about the Gentiles being outside the court, and the veil of the temple being rent in twain. And now all of a sudden there's not a dividing, there's not a barrier anymore, because that middle wall of partition, there was something that was preventing close, intimate fellowship, but Christ tore that veil, right? He tore down that middle wall of partition on the cross, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself twain one new man. So making peace. Again, we're going to emphasize this a little bit further from 2 Corinthians 5. But the majority of Christianity says you need to make peace with God so you can go to heaven. Mm. Well, that's a big problem, isn't it? That's a big problem when you're afar off. That's a big problem when there is a middle wall of partition. Right. You can't jump over that fence. You can't remove the obstacle, right? How are we reconciled? We're reconciled because Jesus reconciled us.
Amen.
Right? That he, verse 16, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by his cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you who were afar off, but to them that are now drew nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto God the Father. How do we have access to God? Through him, right?
That's right.
Through him. Second Corinthians chapter 5. Beginning in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us now the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, and you know sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So in verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You had that carnal mind that was enmity with God, but now all of a sudden, there's a spiritual act of creation that's happened on the soul, right? And all things are become new. It says in verse 18, all things are of God. What's the all things that are of God? all things are made new, right? All of the new things, the radical new nature that God gives his children in the new birth, where does that stem from? It all comes from God, right? Who hath reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus, and then hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So, notice the important language in your King James Bible of the tense of this particular reconciliation. All things are of God, who hath reconciled, past tense, amen, right? So this is a completed action, right? Because that's what Christ did on the cross. That's all we saw in Ephesians chapter 2, right? He has tore down the middle wall of partition, that veil of the temple. It's rent in twain, right? We have direct access unto God. And we've been brought into fellowship with him. We have the ability to fellowship with him here in time. But more than that, we've been brought into eternal fellowship and eternal peace with him through the blood of Jesus Christ. But notice, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. So understand, eternally on the cross, in this context of what we're looking at this evening, the work of reconciliation was finished by Christ on the cross. You know, that it is finished is a very all-encompassing statement. There's a lot that was finished on the cross. Yes. Justification, salvation, and one of those things is reconciliation, right? That's one of the things that was finished on the cross, and that's why it's past tense here in this text, right? We have been reconciled. We've been brought back into fellowship eternally with God through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And based on that fact, right? Based on the fact that it's already done, to use the language from Ephesians chapter 4, God has now given gifts unto men. Why did he give gifts unto men? Why did he call men to preach? Why? Because there's a gospel that needs to be preached, right? Why? The only reason he called men to preach is because there's something to tell.
Right. Amen.
There's a gospel that the work is finished. There's a gospel that we have already been reconciled. Amen. And Paul's one of those people that was called to do that. And that is my ministry. It's my ministry to declare the word of reconciliation. So we want to focus on this, on some of these terms here, and make sure we rightly divide them and we put them in the right bucket. So everything starts with Jesus Christ performing the work, with a K, Jesus Christ performing the work of reconciliation, right? We have been reconciled because of his work on the cross. But now, the Apostle Paul has been giving the ministry of reconciliation. Well, what's the ministry of reconciliation supposed to do? It's supposed to preach the word, with a D, the word of reconciliation. So the work of reconciliation is done solely by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But now, Paul and other ministers of the gospel have been entrusted with the ministry of reconciliation to preach the word of reconciliation. Verse 19, to wit, in other words, that is to say, I'm going to repeat the same point, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. See? Mm-hmm. That means that, many people would say, that means that God loved the whole world without exception. And then, you're going to have to skip a couple phrases to get there, but then in verse 20, God loved the whole world without exception. Now, be ye reconciled to God. All right. You need to be reconciled to God. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get there. But you have to start with the understanding that Jesus has already performed the work of reconciliation. Right? You have to understand eternally, you're already reconciled. You're already at peace with God. And notice the effect of this reconciliation. What's the result of this particular reconciliation? Not imputing their trespasses unto them. So everyone of this world that was reconciled, there's no trespasses.
Thank you.
That have any record before God. Now, we know the Bible certainly doesn't teach universalism.
No.
At the end of time, there's going to be wicked, horrible people that are going to be cast in the lake of fire. You want to know why they're going to be cast in the lake of fire? It's because they have trespassed against Almighty God, right? And they will be justly condemned, just like we deserve, just like me and you deserve too. But that penalty of sin was paid in the person of Jesus Christ. But there's going to be a people at the end of time that's cast in the lake of fire. Why? Because they've got some trespasses against
them. Amen.
Okay? Now, who's this world? This world is the world without distinction. Not the world without exception.
Right.
God has people out of every nation, kindred, people, and tongue. The reason why that language is used so much in the New Testament is because you had this early New Testament church that was Jews and Gentiles, and you had these haughty Jews that just many of them just couldn't get over the Old Testament. And yes, I guess God does love some of these Gentiles, but I really just can't get my head all the way around it. That's why that language is used so much in the New Testament.
Well,
okay? That God has a people out of the whole world, out of every nation, kindred, people, and tongue. Okay? But we certainly need to understand that the world that was reconciled unto God, the effect of that is they have no imputation of trespasses. So you know what that means? That means when Jesus comes back, there is no record to send these people to hell.
Amen.
So that's everybody that's going to heaven, right?
Right.
So there's no way that he reconciled the whole world without exception, because otherwise it's just universalism and everybody's going to heaven. All right?
No.
Who did he reconcile? He reconciled his people. Right?
Amen.
That's who he came to save. Matthew 1:21. That's who he came to save. He came to save his people. And that's who he reconciled. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciled the world unto himself, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. God has entrusted us with the gospel. And what a beautiful message it is.
Amen.
Right? I mean, I've been just out of step with, you know, missing some Wednesday nights and missing church on Sunday, and there's just nothing better to preach than just the basic gospel, right? That Jesus reconciled us to God by nothing more than his free and sovereign grace. And what a privilege. We've all been entrusted, all of God's children, particularly the Perna Baptist Church, has been entrusted with the gospel of salvation by grace, but the idea that he would entrust me individually with the ministry of reconciliation and with the mysteries of that gospel. And I'm so happy to be able to preach a gospel that I can say that Jesus has finished the work.
Yes.
Right? I don't know if they really believe it, and maybe they don't really believe it, I don't know, but if they really believe that their preaching is the determining factor of the eternal destination of some people, how could I ever have a moment's good night's rest?
Right.
I could, if you really believe that, there's no way that I could ever have any peace. But I'm so happy to have a message that my ministry to preach the word of reconciliation is to use all of these past tense verbs, right? It's to say that God has already reconciled you, but at the same time, the ministry has failed if we do not continue on to this final exhortation.
Right.
All right? It's not just about telling you of what God's done for you. It's an exhortation for you to get busy. It's an exhortation for you to perform an action based on that.
Amen.
Now, we got to put that action in the right context, right?
Yeah.
It has no bearing on heaven. It has no bearing on heaven, but it has everything to do with the joy and the peace and the assurance and the salvation in your heart that you have. You know, it talks about baptism. That after you've been baptized, now you have the answer of a good conscience. That salving of the conscience. You know, those Gentiles,
that didn't have the law. It talks about that in Romans chapter 2. There's some Gentiles that didn't have the law. They didn't have the instruction of the Word of God. They didn't have the instruction of the Word of reconciliation. And their conscience either accusing them or excusing them. Well, if you've ever felt that accusation of the Holy Spirit in your heart, boy, is it not salvation? Is it not salvation when you hear the gospel? You know, it says in, I believe it's 1 John chapter 3, that, yes, you need to believe and that our hearts should assure us, but at the end of the day, be reminded that God's still greater than your heart, too. God's still greater than your heart. But there is such peace and assurance in the heart of the child of God when we have this order properly presented, right? Jesus has performed the work of reconciliation. He's committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to preach the word of reconciliation, to preach the gospel. But there is a final exhortation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, and we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. You know, there's a lot of people in Christianity today that say, you need to get right with the Lord. You need to get right with the Lord. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Every child of God needs to get right with the Lord. That's every right. Child of God needs to be reconciled to God. But you need to be reconciled with the right understanding, right? You need to be reconciled in the right context. We have been saved by grace alone. We have been reconciled by the work of Jesus Christ. And you know what? If you have that understanding properly, that should be the greatest encouragement and excitement that you have. You know, that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. They heard that gospel, and they didn't just sit there and say, wow, that's really good news. I'm really glad that applies to me. Let me go back to my daily business. Men and brethren, what shall we do? There's something we got to do. Amen. With this message. This message is burdening my heart. They were pricked in the heart at that moment, right?
Yeah.
They were pricked in the heart. There is something that I know I have to do. Repent and be baptized. And don't you know that they had the answer of a good conscience? That salving of the spirit, salving of the heart that occurs in baptism. After they'd been pricked in the heart, they knew they needed to do something. You know, to use this language, I believe Peter could very easily have said there. He had some other things specifically he needed to tell them in that message. But I believe his message was the same as Paul. Be ye reconciled to God, right? Right? That's essentially what he said. Repent, believe, be baptized.
Amen.
That's you being reconciled to God. But make sure you put it in the right context, because most of Christianity says you need to be reconciled to God so you can go to heaven. No. You need to be reconciled to God because, praise God, we're already going to heaven. Right? By the work of Jesus Christ. But the message of the gospel is never complete. Is never complete until there is an exhortation for you to be reconciled.
Amen.
The message of the gospel is never complete until you're told to repent and believe and be baptized. You know, think about Philip when he was ministering to that eunuch there in that chariot. All of a sudden, they were reading Isaiah 53, and he took that text and he preached unto him Jesus. But then all of a sudden, they drove by some water, and by that point, he knew something about baptism. There ain't nothing about baptism in Isaiah 53.
Right.
You want to know why he knew about that? Because I guarantee you, they were sitting in that chariot, and Philip said, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Well, you know what? You need to be reconciled to God.
That's right.
And you know what? What would you, you know, people say, what would Jesus say? What would Jesus say if he was here today? And I've heard some people say, and I agree with it, he'd just probably just quote his scripture. He'd probably just quote his word. He'd probably just tell you something he's already told you. And I agree with that. But you want to know what Christ would say to you today if he was standing in front of you? The same thing that one of his ambassadors would say to you. That's what he says in verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, there's a lot of good lessons about being an ambassador for Christ in our lives. A lot of very good lessons about that. And I'd love to spend more time on that, but we don't have that ability. But an ambassador is a representative for a government in a foreign land. And they don't have the right to just do whatever they please. They are under authority. They are under authority to the land that they are representing, to accurately represent that land. And you know what? An ambassador does not go to another country and just do whatever makes sense to him. He speaks for the president in that other country. Do you understand that? An ambassador is just simply a representative.
That's right.
So he says, and again, very good lessons about how we need to be mindful of the fact that we can be an ambassador for Christ to this world and represent him, and that there's a very good lesson in that. But that's not primarily what he's saying right here. He's saying that me, as a minister of the gospel, me who has been committed this ministry of reconciliation, I'm an ambassador for Christ. And we pray you in Christ's stead. What's an ambassador? An ambassador, that's why they have diplomatic authority, diplomatic immunity, when they go to other countries, is because it's as if that ambassador is representative of somebody, right?
Right.
It's as if the president is standing in front of you when the ambassador is standing in front of you, right? That's why they have such protections in other countries. And then we reciprocate those same protections to ambassadors in America too. But when an ambassador stands in front of you, they are representing the authority of their government. So when an ambassador speaks, it's as if the president is speaking to you directly, right? In a governmental sense. So he says, look, I'm an ambassador for Christ. And we pray you in Christ's stead. In other words, I've got a message from the government, the kingdom that I'm an ambassador to. And what is that message? I pray you in Christ's stead. In other words, you need to view me just like Christ was standing in front of you. Why? Because I'm his ambassador, right? So, what's Christ's message to the church today? Be ye reconciled to God. Mm-hmm. Be ye reconciled to God. Now, that has no bearing on heaven. It has no bearing on heaven. But boy, it has everything to do with your experience of the kingdom of heaven. It has everything to do with you laying hold on the eternal life that is rightfully yours.
Amen.
It has everything to do with you living the fullness of the abundant life, right? And this is certainly true in a very profound, manifest sense when we first believe, when we first are baptized, we first feel that answer of good conscience, we first feel that experience of justification by faith. But that's not a one-time event, okay? We need to be reconciled to God every single day.
Amen.
Because our faith can become very weak. Our faith can become confused. And you know what you need to do? You need to heed the exhortation of Jesus Christ by his representatives that are standing in front of you, by men that are called to preach, okay? And what's his message to you today? Be ye reconciled to God. Amen. You need to get back right with the Lord. And you know what? It's not going to gain you eternal life, but boy, it will gain you the fullness of what real life is for the child of God here in this world. Okay?
Amen.
Justification by faith. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Paul spent a very extended amount of time in Romans chapter 4 giving you a lot of the mechanics and the logistics of justification by faith. And then he summarizes that in Romans chapter 5 and in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. There's a lot of people that put justification by faith in the wrong context, just like they do
reconciliation. Now, is justification by faith, is that how you become at peace with God in eternity?
Yeah.
No, there's still some barriers there, aren't you? I mean, there's no way for you to approach unto God. There's no ability for you to do that. How were we made at peace with God in eternity? Because Jesus removed that middle wall of partition, right? Because Jesus brought us back into reconciliation and peace and fellowship with Him. But there's a big difference between being at peace with God and then you feeling at peace with God in your heart and in your soul. You want to know what justification by faith is?
It is you reconciling yourself to God's books.
Right.
Okay? I'm going to try not to go accounting nerd on y'all. Okay? I don't think anybody wants that.
But y'all know what reconciliation is, don't you? I hope you reconcile your bank account. You know, if you think you have $1,000 in your bank account, but you have $1,200 worth of checks that are outstanding, you don't have $1,000.
Right.
You don't have $1,000, do you? And you know what? You need to reconcile that. But you want to know what you're doing when you do that monthly reconciliation? You're not creating anything. I mean, you're not creating any facts. You're simply reconciling what's already occurred. You're assessing data. You're assessing the information to reach the appropriate conclusion. The first 5 years of my career, I did auditing, external auditing. You know what we did? They had their books. They already had all of the financial transactions that made up that period. And our responsibility was to go in, look at everything that did occur, evaluate that information, and ensure that our conclusions were the same as their conclusions. We're reaching the same answer, the same conclusion, the same numbers as they do. Why? Because we are reconciling their numbers. Understand, God in the gospel, God in His Word has been so gracious to let us know. That's right. That's what it says in verse 21 that I did not get to. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That tells you God's ledger book.
Amen.
You see that? God is already at peace with you. You are already righteous before God.
Amen.
You're already righteous before God. But now you need to assess the information and you need to reconcile yourself to God's books.
Amen.
You need to reconcile in your own mind. And there's a lot of children of God that are not, they don't have the right information to be able to make that reconciliation and make the appropriate conclusion.
Amen.
Why are they reaching wrong conclusions in their reconciliation? It's because some people are telling them, you've got to make yourself right with God to go to heaven. I can't do that.
Right.
Right? I have no ability to do that. I'm a wretched sinner. And every single work that I perform, it never feels like it's good enough. Well, yeah, it never will be. That's why it doesn't feel like it's good enough. It never will be good enough. Right? But what does the gospel say? The gospel says, I'm giving you a sneak peek into God's books. The gospel says, for all of the elect, you are declared righteous before God because He made Himself to be sin for you so you would be made righteous before Him.
That's right.
So you see what God has done for you, right? You evaluate the information. And sometimes there's some reasons why people reach the wrong conclusion. There's so many children of God that are walking around not feeling at peace with God in the context of justification by faith. They don't feel at peace with God because they say that all they're told is you got to do something to go to heaven. What's the effect of justification by faith? Now we have peace with God, right? We have peace with God. Now, the salvation that I have in eternity, I can feel it in my soul. The peace
right.
that I have on the ledger books, the righteousness that I have before God, now I can feel that righteousness imputed on my soul. And what does that give you? It gives you a peace that passes all understanding.
Amen.
A peace that passes all understanding.
and by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. You can't make a choice to get into grace. You can't make a choice to stand in grace. Grace is unmerited. There's no way for you to do that. You already have access to that, but faith is the entryway. Faith is the doorway that you gain access to the fullness of the kingdom. I want to go back to conclude this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Now then, ye are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ did, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, whom you know sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, that goes right along with what we saw in verse 19. Those that are reconciled, not imputing their trespasses unto them, right? There's no trespasses there. Why? Because we have Jesus imputed righteousness stamped on our account in heaven. Amen. And I want you to understand, that is the reality of eternal peace, eternal reconciliation for every single child of God, and regardless of the degree of knowledge that they have about that here in time, has no bearing on where anyone's going to be for eternity. Has no bearing on them going to heaven. But God gave gifts unto men for a reason. He called men to preach for a reason. Mm-hmm. And you may not be called to preach, but you have the privilege of knowing about the word of reconciliation, of salvation by grace alone. And I would never want to present this gospel in a scary or authoritative way to try to scare people into doing it. The reason why you should be reconciled to God is because he's already reconciled you. It's that simple, isn't it? Yes. I mean, what exhortation do we have to serve God faithfully? What reason do we have to serve God with every fiber of our being? What reason? He saved us by grace alone. That's it. That's it, right? The gospel is all you need.
Amen.
The gospel is all you need to serve God. But many people are serving God for the wrong reason, right? Because they view God. It undermines the character of God for them to only view him as a means to an end for me to not have to deal with the fires of hell for all of eternity.
All right.
No, you need to be reconciled to God because he's already reconciled you.
Amen.
Right? You need to serve God faithfully because he's already saved you. And I believe the ministry's been called to the exact same exhortation today for every single child of God, for the church, that you need to be reconciled to God. You need to be reconciled to God. And it's not just about believing one time. There are many things in our life that prevent the fullness of fellowship that we have with the Lord. And if you see something that is hindering that fellowship, you need to deal with that situation and be reconciled to God.
Amen.
Right? Jesus Christ performed the work of reconciliation. And that's the whole reason we have a gospel to preach. Mm-hmm. He performed the work of reconciliation. He's given us the word of reconciliation. But now we have our own, in context, our own work of reconciliation to perform. Mm-hmm. Has nothing to do with heaven. But we have a personal reconciliation that we need to have with the Lord. And the effect of that, justification by faith, praise God that we have been brought into perfect peace with God eternally. But many times even ourselves, not even talking about the people that don't understand the gospel, they don't have peace with God in their heart because they don't understand the word and the work of reconciliation, mm-hmm. right? They don't have peace in their heart, but there's many times I don't have peace in my heart either with the Lord. And there's a reason for that. I need to be reconciled to God. right? I need to conform my mind and my life more with God's word and God's will and God's way instead of my own opinions, instead of my own way. Be ye reconciled to God. Because, not using God as a means to an end to get to heaven, but because he's already reconciled you.
Right.
He's already brought us into peace with God. He's already performed all the requirements for eternal salvation. But oh, what salvation and assurance and joy and peace that passes all understanding we feel in our soul by knowing that Christ has already saved us to heaven. Right? Be ye reconciled to God.
We thank you for listening to today's message and invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For further information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.